This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I stopped drinking alcohol almost exactly 7 years ago. When I stopped drinking, I really felt a lot of benefits. My health was better, my finances were better, my attention was better, and I really felt like I started to kind of grow up as a person. At times, it was still difficult. At times, even now, I feel like sometimes it's hard to explain to people why I don't drink. And sometimes still, I feel like I'm a bit alone on this journey. But a couple of years ago, I found Over the Influence, and that really changed things a lot for me. And I just felt like I wasn't alone in this journey anymore. It's just so nice to have this massive connection with all these like-minded people. Come along to Over the Influence and be part of an amazing community.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. It is wonderful to have you here. If you are just joining us for the first time, a quick recap as to who we are, your hosts of possibly the finest alcohol-free podcast in all of the land. Possibly. It's a given. We are. Simple as that. We can say that then, can't we? I'm saying it anyway.
You can if you want to. I mean, it sounds a little big-headed, I'm not going to lie. There are some fabulous alcohol-free podcasts out there. We want you to listen to all of them.
Listen to them all, but this one's very, very good. Welcome. It is lovely to have you listening. If you are just tuning in for the first time, you've stumbled across us for whatever reason, go back. Go right back to the start. Fill your boots. There's about 70 episodes to go at, and they are really, really, really good. My name is Sharon Hartley. Call me Shaz. Call me Shazza. Nobody calls me Sharon. And I am from Lancashire in the northwest of England. Married, three kids, one dog. Busy working, busy treading the boards at the theatre and all that jazz. But that's a story for another day. And I am now 3 years, 7 months alcohol free. It has been hands down the best decision I've ever made in my life. Completely and utterly life changing. I used to be a daily drinker. I decided to take a break for 30 days and then 90 days. And here we still are. And life just continues to get better and better and better. It is marvellous. Today's a really big day. A really big day for my co-host, Freddie, in New Zealand. Happy 3 years, young Freddie.
Thank you very much, young Shazza. Yes, in certain parts of the world, it is 3 years alcohol-free today, which is just crazy. Life would be so different if I hadn't decided to not have a drink on the 8th of March, whenever it was, 3 years ago, and decided every day since then to not have a drink. Yeah, none of this would have been possible. I would have still been that stressed, depressed, upset, going nowhere, flushing his life down the toilet, executive middle manager. But now I'm here, I'm happy, I'm confident, I'm so, so proud to be part of the world's most wonderful, most friendly, most welcoming alcohol-free community. It's really an amazing place to be, and I'm so, so happy we've got our guest on today. There is no one more inspirational that we could ever ask for to be here in this iconic episode. So yeah, that's me. I'll shut up. Very happy to be here. This Excellent. Is going to be a classic.
Yeah, hey, well done. And Freddie, honestly, I've got a face ache because prior to this episode, we've just recorded a premium podcast. Find that at overtheinfluence.supercast.com, by the way. It costs you pence to subscribe for a month. And we've just spent a fair while chatting about your achievements and your 3 years. And it's just so good. And then genuinely, I've got a face ache. I've got proper face ache. Enough of that. Enough about you, Freddie. Ben,
yeah, obviously.
Ben, he was in the background. We dropped that a long time ago. Producer Ben, very much in the foreground and just smashing alcohol-free life. It's one of the best stories that we've followed on this podcast. Ben, hello, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You know, I went out for some alcohol-free beers with two old friends from the radio industry back in Birmingham when I worked in Birmingham at the weekend. And the reason that we all got together is because my old mate, he was Googling alcohol-free podcasts and he just randomly stumbled across Over the Influence.
No
and he
way.
Went, "That's Ben! That's Ben!" And in his exact words, he said, "I don't know if it's because I know you or not, and I knew how much of a monster you were, but I thought if you can fucking do it, then I can."
What he said?
I was like, well...
Praise indeed!
There's a compliment in there somewhere. You know, I feel a bit like, you know, when you're a kid and you go, well, I'm 4 and a half, and that half is really important. Well, I am now... 1¾ years alcohol-free.
Wow.
Today.
20 today.
Months alcohol-free today. Yeah, today. And delighted to be there. Thank you. The numbers aren't as big as you guys, of course, but it's not
they
important.
All count.
They all count.
We never say the word only
we never,
on Over the Influence.
Ever,
because
ever, ever.
Whether you've done a year, whether you've done a week, whether you've done a day, you know, it's fabulous that you've made that decision to go alcohol-free. If you're currently listening to this and you're sober curious, we're all going to tell you do it. Look, I need to shut up now because I just get so excited about it these days.
I know.
Singing about the joys of sobriety. But we've got a fabulous guest who you guys know. I don't know.
Oh, we do.
Our guest today. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know her.
Now, I thought, you know, we were in pretty big numbers. We're doing all right. 3 years, 7 months, 3 years for Freddie. 1¾ years for you, Ben. And you know, in all these cases...
It's very important.
It's very important. They all started with a day one. Every single person starts with a day one, including today's guest. I'm dead excited about this because we've known Anne for the majority of her alcohol-free journey. She is called Anne Gash. She is 4 years... and 1 month, have I got that right? Alcohol-free,
yeah,
which is marvellous. Anne, welcome to Over the Influence. How the heck are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm happy to be here. It's amazing. You all look so great.
It is wonderful.
Well, so do you, Anne. So do you.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful to see you. Thank you so much. And I must just describe for the purposes of this podcast, we are all on a Zoom call chatting together. I love your hoodie. Spartan. See what you did there?
Yeah, I think I might get a little N to put on the
you
end.
You need an extra N.
Yeah.
And we will come to all this a little bit later on in our chat because what you've achieved during sobriety is incredible. So much to go at. And if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, how old you are, and how you got into all this this alcohol-free life.
Wow, so I'm Anne Gash. I live in North Wales, Anglesey, a little island on the top.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, so I'm surrounded by the sea. So yeah, I was fed up. 2017, I had a health scare and I thought, I need to change my life, right? But I didn't know how. But then my go-to was drive to Tesco's, buy a bottle of wine and a book. And that's when I found a book that changed my life, which set me on this alcohol-free journey. And I still got to pinch myself that I'm 4 years because I've achieved so much in such a short space. Yeah.
I mean, and before the health scare that you mentioned, did you ever have a feeling that, you know, maybe it's time to drink a bit less?
Did you
try and change your behaviours before then?
Yeah, it's like especially the morning after the night before, you know, never drinking again. But obviously it disappears. And then the weekend after, you're like, let's go again. And that was my problem. That was Friday came along and that was it. The weekend binge drinker in me came out and it was just an excuse. All I needed was, the rugby's on. Let's drink all weekend. You know, football's on. Let's drink. There's a party, let's drink. There's a birthday, let's drink. I just used to find an excuse.
There's a why in the day,
yeah.
Let's drink.
Let's drink, yeah. But then I always used to feel, oh, boring, come on. You need to live, you know, especially when you're feeling a bit ill. But then you just forget that, don't you? And then you just carry the cycle on and on and on. And it took that health scare for me to, like, I need to do something. And, yeah.
Going back to... before you bought that book at the supermarket, just share with us a bit how it would make you feel drinking. You said there the morning after the night before, because so many people, if not everybody that drinks maybe more than they are happy with, has those feelings, don't they? What was that like for you, Anne?
It's just frustration because I knew I didn't enjoy it. You know, just felt, ugh. You know, because I was in my mid-40s. I'm 48 now.
We're the same age.
So, you know, when you get older, it takes longer to recover, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just beat yourself up, I think, when you repeat. You just think, oh, I'm wasting my life, you know, on the hangovers. Yeah.
And then you find, don't you, Anne? I mean, it was those feelings and feeling dog rough the day after and that cycle of, oh, here we go again. The one thing that only ever sort of took those feelings away was alcohol. And then you're in that repeat.
Yeah.
Was there any... You talked about the health scare there. Was that your defining moment when you thought, right, that's it, I'm going to make a massive change?
Yeah, because I found a lump in my breast and my mum had had breast cancer twice and sat outside the hospital after I had the news that everything was fine. I just cried in my car. And that's when I decided I've got to do something. I've got to make a change. And that was 2017. And it wasn't until January 2018 when I went to Tesco's and found the book that I thought, you know, let's do this. Not thinking I'd hit 4 years. I just thought, let's give 28 days a go. But yeah, still going. It was the best decision ever. Yeah.
But I think it's such a key point, Anne, because I think so many of us, when we want to change our behaviours, and I think a lot of us are kind of very all or nothing in our thinking, and we're thinking, oh, I should probably stop drinking, but forever feels like a really long time. And the thought of never drinking again at that moment feels really scary. But I think, as you say, just saying, what if I could just do a month or a week or just setting yourself that kind of target, I think is really helpful. And did that help for you in terms of trying to break it down into smaller chunks?
Yeah, I didn't go out to intend to go forever. I just thought I'd give it a week. I didn't think I'd hit the weekend. The first two weekends were the toughest. I thought, right, I've got them. And I started in the middle of the Six Nations, so that wasn't great timing either. do it by week, 2 weeks, and then you hit a month, and it's like, let's do 90 days, and then do a year, you know, thinking, I might have a drink at the end of the year. But then I felt so good, I just thought, let's go to year two, year three. And then you don't think about it, you just keep going. Yeah. But you need a little break it down and it makes it easier.
And I hope you don't mind me interrupting here, but just for our American audience, we've got a lot of people listening in America. The Six Nations is a competition. It's a rugby competition where the Welsh have got a very proud history of playing rugby. Unfortunately, they're not as good as the English. And it's just historically looking at the Six Nations. Anne, let's be friends again. Let's get this back on to talking about alcohol-free life.
Let's do some meditation.
She might leave.
Anne, I want to take you back to that car park, because in that moment where you got the all clear, that's when you decided to positively change your life.
That was the shock I needed, yeah.
Is that what it was? Was it shock? Because the reason that I want to ask about it is because I know that I'm this kind of person as well. The all clear would give me a green light to carry on, to be honest. Rather than going, this is what I need to change my life positively, the all clear would probably have the effect in my head of, oh, well, you got the all clear, so everything's fine. So you haven't got to change anything. Was it shock then that made you?
Yeah, I think it was a shock because I knew what my mother had been through twice. And I thought, you know, it's there, right? It was staring me in the face. If I don't do something, then that could be me. And that was the wake-up call that shook me. I think that it was the shock that... Because, you know, I've been in a position before where I've felt rubbish, never going to drink again, but that was never enough for me to make that change. It was that shock that I needed. Yeah.
You st- still looking at me. I feel like the comment about the rugby is still lingering.
We've got an issue. We've got a situation.
I'm going to attempt to build another bridge here. Anglesey is a beautiful place, Anne, and I know that because I worked in Anglesey for a while.
Right.
I ran a radio station, Capital Cymru, the Welsh-speaking capital. I was the managing editor. So I spent a good amount of time in Anglesey drinking, I have to say. I love a drink in Anglesey. Some beautiful pubs in Anglesey. The scenery is stunning. It's the perfect place. We always used to go in the summer and have a day where we sat outside and we did all day drinking in Anglesey. I've got to say, I loved it. I'd like to ask you about when people first go alcohol-free, one of the things that they're really concerned about is how other people are going to react.
Yeah.
And Anglesey, I know, is a very small community. It's a very proud community. A lot of people there speak Welsh, don't they, as a first language.
Yeah, I'm Welsh first language. Yeah.
But I think that, again, it almost helps to solidify and strengthen that sense of community that you've got in Anglesey. Is it more difficult, do you think, to give up alcohol when, you know the guys and he works in the shop down the road and you've known him for years, you know the pub landlord, you know it's such a small community in Anglesey. Does that make it more difficult to do something like giving up alcohol?
There was a lot of comments at the start, going to watch the rugby, where if you've ever been to Cardiff on a rugby weekend, it's just chaos. It's absolute mayhem. And it's the same in the pubs. You know, everyone goes into the pub to watch the rugby, and then when you go and you're not drinking, it's like, what's wrong? You're pregnant. You know. And it's like, when you try and, you know, no, I'm just having a challenge, you know, trying it out, and it's like, oh, don't be boring, have a drink. The usual comments that you get when you say to people that you're not drinking, you know. Why, what's wrong? Have you got a real problem?
And what did you say to those people, Anne? Because it's such personal assumptions people make, isn't it? You know, how bad did it get? What was your rock bottom? It must be awful. What's the problem? Are you pregnant? Bore off. What did you say to them in answer to that? How did you deal with that?
Mine was, I'm set myself, because I'm always big on challenges, always set myself challenges. So I just said, I'm doing this 28-day alcohol-free challenge. That's what I'm doing.
And people can't argue with that, can they?
Yeah, if you've got a set thing to say to everyone, I'm doing this challenge, and that's it, end of, you know? And then at the end of the 28 days, so you're coming out then? I was like, no, I'm going to do 90 days, you know? So towards the few weeks in, people just got used to it. You still get the boring comments. Don't be boring, the rugby's on. But just keep going. It's your journey, right? And don't let anyone influence your decisions. Don't be scared to stand out. I think that's what I found is it's my journey, it's my life, and this is my choice. Yeah.
I love that. That's very powerful, and I think it's, I know rugby's a funny one, and this is probably going to shock all of you, because rugby being a very macho, very hardcore, strong, physical, violent sport, it's probably going to surprise you both, but I'm not really a rugby person. Or it's going to surprise all three of you, but I'm not really a rugby person. So, and
you didn't watch England beat Wales 23-19 a couple of weeks ago. I'm sorry.
She's got her head in her hands.
She's going to leave.
It's all right, Anne. I was probably busy in a health spa.
Getting a manicure.
Massage. But I do know what it's like, in that rugby environment with a lot of social pressure. And a lot of people say, like, you know, just come on, just have a drink. You know, we've won, have a drink. We've lost, as someone apparently lost a rugby game did. And I think it's having not only that strong mindset, but also the tactical thinking of, right, I'm going to go into this situation. I know I'm probably going to get some people challenging me on it or questioning me. So when they do that, I'm going to say this, this, and this, or I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I think going in there like you did with that strategy is so powerful, because I know I've been there in the past, and you kind of, And I remember hearing it in my voice, that whole kind of, yeah, I'm trying not to drink, so I'm probably don't, well, okay, I'll just have one. And then before you know it, you're on your third tequila shot and you're throwing your underwear around your head and dancing on the bar and saying, let's all do a rugby and things like that, which is what I was doing. So yeah, I think having those tactics in there is really powerful. And I think it's just a testament to your success that you properly thought it through and you said, no, this is my challenge. I'm going to accept this challenge and I'm going to make it happen.
What I found as well, when on my 2-year anniversary, I went down to Cardiff to watch Wales, Italy on the 2-year, and they've now got an alcohol-free section at the Millennium Stadium.
Brilliant.
And that made it easier that I could sit in a section where I wasn't surrounded by people drinking beer. So that is an amazing...
An area of seating.
They've got a whole section of the stadium that's
amazing.
Alcohol free, where they don't sell beer and you can't sit there with a pint. It's amazing. So
what
that made
difference.
It a lot easier for me to go. Yeah.
How did that
That's
make
really
you feel
cool.
when you saw that?
That felt amazing. You know, I still went to the pub, you know, but I had Ghost Ship, I think I had, in a pint. So I just felt still part of the rugby weekend. But then going into the stadium, it was just great because you weren't surrounded by people getting up, going to the bar and stuff. It was just amazing. I just can't explain it. That was just brilliant. Even on the ticket, it has alcohol-free section.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Don't mind, I'm going to jump in with a very personal comment, Anne. I hope you don't mind this. So we first met, how many years ago was it, Anne, when we did that Spartan together? We did an obstacle race. Was it three?
Was it Windsor?
I think it was Windsor.
2019, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a fair length of time ago. The first time we'd met in person, Freddie was there. But bear in mind, Freddie, he was already on like lap 10.
He was topless as well, if
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, topless. It was a really great day, actually. Of course he was topless.
It was.
It's just
that was the first time you and me met in person as well, Shazza.
It was. And I was like, bloody hell, he's just like his Instagram.
Hashtag no filter.
No top. And he's never found his top since, Sam. But what a great weekend that was. But that was the first time we met and we were doing one of these ridiculous, crazy obstacle races, both out of our comfort zone. And I remember you vividly. You were so anxious. You were so nervous.
Was it the tears?
I didn't want to say that. I'll let you talk about how you felt. And I just thought, my God, this woman... Talk about putting yourself out of your comfort zone. So I want you to go back to that day, what that was like, doing something that you possibly wouldn't have done had you still been drinking. And then fast forward and what I've seen, because we're still friends on social media, you know, we follow each other's stories and whatnot. The confidence that has come over the last, 4 years in total, but since that day we met, You're a different woman. It is incredible. And I want to, do you feel that? Do you see that in yourself? Do you acknowledge that and go, my God, I barely recognise myself? Because I've seen such a huge shift in who you are.
Thanks for that. Wow. I sometimes look back. I have to look back to see how far I've come at times to remind myself, oh, I am moving in the right direction. And yeah, I can see myself how I've changed. Yeah, so Windsor was a bit emotional though. So
it was very emotional.
I still remember that moment very well. And I remember like you, the nerves that you had before the race, and then seeing you coming down the at the end of it. And I remember you were covered in mud, and you have to jump over the fire section at the end, and it was so amazing to, as I said, see how nervous you were, but to go through and do it. And I think with all of these, the race like the Sparta races or the other brands of races that I can't remember, all the obstacle course races, I think it's such an amazing metaphor for your alcohol-free journey in terms of being nervous at the start and doubting yourself, and then just getting over obstacle after obstacle and challenge after challenge, and feeling a bit battered and bruised as you're going along. But then to reach your alcohol-free goal and literally leap over that fire and achieve it, I think it's absolutely, you know, it's inspirational and it's awe-inspiring, and it really is. And you've gone on then, haven't you, Anne? Because it wasn't just the one race that you did. You kind of got the bug.
What? You did another one of these things.
She hasn't stopped.
They sound horrendous.
They are horrendous.
Jumping over fire. Why would anyone want to do that on the weekend?
That's the best bit, because you know you're finished.
But Freddie's right there, Anne. You started there, and I don't think you've looked back. Just talk us through some of the changes that you've made and how you've sort of faced those fears and carried on going.
Well, where do I begin? In such a short time, I've done so much. But finding Spartan Racing, you know, has had a big influence on my life, because I've done 11 races now. And the first two races were emotional, and I just felt I didn't belong. And then when I hit Twickenham, that's when my mindset changed, because I decided to go on my own and not as part of a team, because I wanted to prove to myself, can I do this without people pushing and pulling? So that's where my Spartan mindset changed, was at Twickenham. And I've not stopped. I've not looked back. And hitting my trifecta last year, my weekend trifecta, which if you'd have told me that at the start, I would have said, that's never going to happen.
And what is that, sorry, Anne?
It's the three distances in one weekend.
What?
I know, it's mad.
what distances are they?
So it's the Beast, which is 21K, the Super, that's a 10K, and the Sprint, that's a 5K. So, yeah.
So that's hardcore. Like, so that's like a half marathon and a 10K. And was it a 5K?
A 5.
It's just ridiculous. I've never
run that, like just doing running that distance in a weekend, let alone climbing over obstacles and getting covered in mud and not a hot stone massage in sight, which is quite frankly a crime in those conditions. But yeah, that's hardcore.
I just an addiction, I think. It's, I can't explain it. I don't know why.
You said those first two races, they were really emotional. You said that you felt like you didn't fit in. Why?
Because I was so overweight, and I just looked around and I was comparing myself to others. But what I didn't realise at the time was I got there so early because I was so anxious. I was comparing myself to the elite athletes. So
it's not a good starting point, is it?
So yeah, that's why I didn't feel as if I belonged, because no, I didn't look like them, because they were the elites, right? I was just me. So yeah, don't get there too early. That's my advice. but yeah, I just felt I didn't belong there. But yeah, because of that.
But you feel that you do now? Like you must be a pretty well-known face within the Spartan community now.
There's people I know, even people I've met on Instagram, I feel as if I've known them. But then during lockdown, I met them online, and then I started meeting them last year, and it's just surreal, because we'd spoken via Instagram and then meeting them. That was weird. The whole lockdown thing has been crazy. But yeah, you see the same faces in a lot of these races. And I think that's what's great, because it's a community. I think it's finding a community helps on a journey like this. And
we couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There'll be so many women and men, but women, same age as me and you, listening to this now, thinking, oh, for God's sake, she's 3 years alcohol-free and she's 4 years alcohol-free. We've spoken about this a bit before. It can seem impossible. It can seem truly impossible. And from what you've shared, you never expected to get to this point. You never expected to be running 72 races in one weekend, which is crazy. What advice would you give to people listening now that are struggling with that first weekend, with that first sober rugby match, with that first whatever it might be? Because you've been there, you've done that, and you've got the muddy Spartan t-shirt as well.
Yeah, I thought it was impossible back years ago. I thought that I'm never going to be able to do this. But you've just got to have, you know, everyone's got a day one. Everyone's got several day ones, right? Nobody cracks it the first time around. Yeah, so just face it. Just embrace change. You know, it's not going to be easy. Just go for it. You know, what have you got to lose? Yeah, you've just got everything to gain. Yeah, I don't know. Oh,
your smile. Your smile says it all.
Oh, but yeah, I thought it was impossible because I felt stuck for a long time. I felt stuck in the cycle. So if I can do it, seriously, anyone can do it. It's just having that determination. I'm going to do this. Make sure your whys are strong enough. You know, write your whys down. Why do you want to change? And just keep that in the front of your mind. This is why I want to change, whatever your reason may be.
I think that's so amazing. And it's so true, Anne, as well. And I think it's, we all tell ourselves a story that we can't do something, or if I can murder this metaphor a little bit more, that the obstacles are too great, or that the journey is too long and muddy. And as I fully remember that winter weekend. And also I remember this fresh-faced lady who bounced up to me and she said, "Hiya, it's me, Shazza." And Shazza was really worried as well. And she's like, "Oh, what have I signed up for? I can't believe I'm doing it." And then, yeah, a little while later, and I don't know if you ever remember Baywatch, when the women are running down the beach in slow motion.
Exactly that.
That's what Shazza was like, coming through the woods, so just awesome. like
a strong sports bra, love.
Wow. Freddie remembers it well.
Everything is possible. But I did, and I'm trying to bring it back to something sensible, which is difficult for me. I wanted to pick up on something that you mentioned earlier, Anne, about it being like an addiction, which is something that I absolutely relate to. Because I think so many of us have got addicted personalities, and why not be addicted to something that doesn't involve you crying down a toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning. But do you think it is that? Like, do you feel that you've replaced one addiction with another? And do you think that's a bad thing or not?
Yeah, I've always got this fear that I have replaced one for the other. But I've always got to have some goal. I've always got to have something to aim for in the calendar. Otherwise, I would stagnate. So, yeah, I am very much all or nothing. I've either got nothing going on or my calendar's full of challenges. And, yeah, the last 4 years, I've got to have something to be scared about in the future. So, you know, the bigger the goal, you know, the scarier the goal. This is like the bigger the change, right? That's how I see it is, oh, my God, I am absolutely petrified of what's in the future, but I'm going for it no matter what.
And I love that. Removing booze, giving you the balls, made you brave. You're like, I can do anything.
Yeah, because I used to use alcohol as fake confidence, I suppose, because I used to be scared to go anywhere, like social situations. I'd down half a bottle of wine before I'd go meeting people because I didn't want to go out. You know, so I was a bit anxious. But now I'll just go out and meet people I've never even met. You know, yes,
because a lot of the races on your own.
Yeah, I go drive to the other end of the country. I even drove up to Scotland to do a Spartan race. Drove there to do a 5K and drove back again in the same day just to do a Spartan race. It's crazy. But yeah.
Anne, have your whys changed? The reason I ask is because obviously you're 4 years into this now, and you know, going back to that moment when you're in the car park, you were shocked and you were scared about what could happen if you didn't make a change. Those are two quite negative emotions, obviously powerful in terms of kind of motivations for change, but they're quite, you know, being scared of something that could happen if you don't change it's a negative thing. It feels like you're a very positive person. So if you're wise, kind of changed and adapted, are you know, literally running, you're not running away from something anymore, are you running towards something else?
Yeah, usually a big shiny medal I'm running towards. yeah, my whys back when I was sat in that car was my son, you know. I wanted to be around for my son, right? And now, you know, that is, he's still a big part of my why I'm living this life. But it's more than that now, because I used to be so negative and used to feel so down. But now I feel as though I have purpose and I have a life to live, where before I felt I didn't have. So, yeah, I just feel as if, I don't know. I just want to live life, right? Life's for living, not drinking. That's what I've discovered in the last 4 years, is I have kind of woken up, I suppose, from this blur. Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I still remember, I was at Windsor and Twickenham, and your son was there, and I remember meeting him. And like, what, I'm sure he's a lot bigger now, but yeah, what I just thought, what a gentleman, and what a little amazing guy to be there and support his mum to and just to watch you do all those amazing things. And I guess he must have had an experience of the drinking version of you, and then seeing like the Spartan Anne, and those memories are going to stay with him for the rest of his life. I think seeing literally what a super mum he's got is one of the most powerful gifts you can give him. I think you're doing that, and you're inspiring him and inspiring so many other people every single day.
I don't know what to say to that, really. It's just like, got me in the feels, Freddie. Got me in the feels right there.
Oh, thank you. That's what we do here.
He makes us cry, Anne, all the bloody time.
I know. It's different sorts of tears, though. Like, it's tears of pain. But no,
you know,
it's
what,
true.
Anne? And yeah, I don't, we don't know each other. And I found myself kind of leaning closer and closer towards the Zoom camera
as we've gone on.
And it's because you kind of got this, you're so positive, like it radiates out of you almost. And it's so sad to think that you weren't always like this, that you weren't always this kind of beam of light.
No, I wasn't. I was in a dark place for a while, yeah. So that, I think that's what makes this journey so exciting, is what's next. You know, because I'm even doing a public speaking course now.
Oh, wow.
And in my early days of this journey, I couldn't even speak on a Zoom, you know. So for me to be doing this on a Zoom with you guys 4 years ago would never have happened. I wouldn't have turned up. So working on my confidence and stuff is, it's just bonuses on going alcohol free, you know.
I can't help but think of the hashtag, this girl can. For you, it describes you, if you don't mind me saying this, in a nutshell. It doesn't matter who you are, your size. You've mentioned the fact you went to the Spartan race and you saw these athletes. Who cares, Anne? You did it and you continue to do it, and it just doesn't matter. You are doing it, and your positivity and your can-do attitude is like, hell yes. And I'm just sat here like that. I love Anne. She's just ace. And I think maybe you don't realise quite how phenomenal you are and how far you've come, because you're very understated and modest, and you're not going to sit there going, yeah, I'm great. But you really are.
She's doing it too now.
You're doing it to me now. What's going on? But I think my problem is, because I'm already stressing about my next Spartan, which is in May the 7th, and I'm doing the big one first. I'm doing the Beast, so I'm already, that self doubt. I'm full of self doubt. So for me, I know I'm going to work myself up to the next race. But as soon as I cross that start line, I know I'm going to get to the end. It's just the waiting to get to that start line that fills me with the, I can't do this. What am I doing this for again? But once I cross that start line, I know I can do it. That's just getting there.
Freddie, I'm going to try and read Freddie's mind now. And Freddie will probably come in at this point and say that is very much like your alcohol-free journey, that terror leading up to the start line. But once you start, once you get over that day one, you cross that start line and then boom.
Yeah.
You head to the finish.
You still have those moments where you're like, shit, this is big, isn't it? Like, you look at it and you go, I can't get over that. Like, you still have those moments throughout the journey of the race itself. But I love that. I love that when you start, you know that you're going to finish. I love that surety.
Can do.
And we never feel like it's the perfect time. It's what all of us say with the alcohol-free journey. Yeah. It's never the perfect time to start. We never feel totally ready. We're always thinking, oh, God, maybe I'll give it another week or another month or whatever it is. But as you show, Anne, it's just about saying, yeah, maybe I'm not perfectly ready, but you're still going to make it happen. And that amazing confidence that isn't that kind of rah, rah, beat your chest, I'm going to conquer the world. It's just, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to happen. I'm not going to quit. I'll see you at the finish line.
It's like when I did the Great North Run last year. I'm not a runner, you know.
I think
I'm a
you
big...
did that as well.
Just drop that in there.
I'm a big girl,
that's
right?
Amazing.
There's a lot of me to go, right, from A to B. So yeah, it's that thing. Oh my God, what am I doing here? But I knew as soon as I crossed that line, I may crawl to the end, but I'm still going to get to the end. I don't know. I need to get over this. I can't do this until I get to the start. I need to start believing in myself before, you know, rather than when I cross that start line. I need to work on that, I think.
I think it's absolutely amazing. And say, I love the fact that you just drop in the half marathon there when the recording's almost at the end. But that's awesome. And wouldn't it be amazing if all of us could do another Spartan together and do like an Over the Influence Spartan group?
Oh my God!
Can I run round the fire at the end?
Well, I was going to say, like Ben, like I've has anyone watched him with the guy is off Aquaman, the guy with like the slightly long hair and the beard? And
I've got a proper thing
like a topless
him.
Ben, like running through the fire, looking like him, like with his bare chest, and just like
what's he called? The actor? He is
Jason Momoa, or
he's out of this world.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be Ben, like just with a slow-mo shot of fire in the background, and Ben like turns to the camera and kind of just blows you a kiss or something. I feel so safe and protected, and I just want him to give me a hot stone massage.
I knew that was coming there.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And I'll come along and support.
No, I'll be there at the end with the sandwiches.
I can't even run a bath at the moment. No, Anne, you just take one for the team. Take one from all of us. You keep running, love. We're all right. We're just going to skip over the idea of us all running, even though one of our community members who's on this call, listening to this recording, Crystal, who is wonderful, and I get dead excited when we go all international. She's in the US of A, and she's got the best accent.
She came on, she goes, oh, hey, Crystal, how you doing? She went, yeah, how are y'all?
Hi, y'all. We're all right, love. We're all right.
We're all right, we are.
Thanks for asking.
Not bad, love.
Crystal says she'll fly over the pond, not fly over to the pond, and come and join us. Just hold that thought, Crystal. And you've talked about doing things outside of your comfort zone, this newfound, quiet, alcohol-free confidence with you, and it's breathtaking. The changes. I have seen this weekend that you have done something else out of your comfort zone. You went to Ireland. You flew across the water. You met more and more wonderful people from the sober community. Andy Ramage, Sally Wilkinson, Matt Pink, Better Life Guy. The Happy Pear people. The vegan brothers. They're nice, aren't they? And it looked like... This is turning into a perv cast. Sorry.
Everything all right, Chad?
No, it's not.
Honestly, Chad, if I have to raise the tone up, there's a problem.
But Anne, you did that on your own. And could you have imagined doing that 4 years ago in your drinking heyday? Just tell us a bit about that weekend and how you felt doing all these amazing alcohol-free things, including swimming in the sea, which we've not yet talked about.
Yeah, for me... A trip to Dublin would usually involve drinking on the ferry and then drinking at the pubs around Dublin. So to go over on the ferry, sat there for 3.5 hours with the water, and then going to Dublin, and then going down to swim with the amazing alcohol-free people, you know, meeting up with Andy again, which was amazing.
Did you see Andy Ramage in his trunks?
I did. He had floral ones.
Sharon. Sharon.
Flip it out.
Rain this
was
in.
Was William Porter there? Sorry, bring it back, Anne. Bring it back. Bring it back. Sorry, Anne. She's got bread.
So Andy in his trunks was nice.
So yeah, it was so good. It was just great. It was just, oh my God, it was just great. To me, you know, because I haven't seen Andy in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Face to face. I think it was probably Windsor. Was he at Windsor?
Yeah, I think he was actually, yeah.
I think that's probably the last time I saw him. So yeah, and meet Matt Pink and the twins. it was just, and Sally, meeting Sally again. Yeah, it was just amazing. And then speaking with people from the community, you know, alcohol-free community, it was just amazing. It was all amazing. And I was only there for one night. And then I was back again. I went all the way there to swim and came back again.
But, Anne, doesn't that just show how removing alcohol gives you all your time back? It gives you every single second of the day back, not a minute wasted to drinking, thinking about drinking, recovering from drinking, and then drinking again. You packed it into 24 hours, and from what I saw and from what you shared, you had a ball, and it was incredible.
Oh, it was fantastic. I want to go back. I want to spend more time there because it was a beautiful part of Ireland. Yeah. And I love sea swimming, you know, living on Anglesey. I'm surrounded by the sea. Yeah, so I love it.
Anne, it's been an absolute pleasure. Personally, obviously, myself and Freddie, chuffed a bit to see you again, although it is over Zoom rather than in person. And my goodness me, you have come a long, long way since that start line at Windsor. Anne, thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story. We wish you the very best of luck in your next ridiculous race. Please, will you keep in touch with us? And report back in 6 months, 12 months. We'd love to see what you're up to next. And you've been really, really inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been great.